Coming up on today's episode, my brother Tyson stops by and we pick Team Canada's men's Olympic hockey roster, including whether or not Scheifele and Morrissey made the cut. But first, a word from our friends over at DraftKings, and that's because college football season is right around the corner. And to celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is giving you the chance to get into the center of the action with $200 in free bets instantly if you bet a dollar or more on any college football game. That's right, just $1 can win you up to $200 in free bets instantly. Maybe you like Alabama to go undefeated. Maybe you think John Harbaugh is actually going to be worth the money that Michigan's paying him. Not likely. Whatever the bet may be, it's that simple, that easy. So make sure to head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now to check out all the great promotions and daily odds boosts that they're offering. And as always, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Super, super easy to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any college football game. That's promo code THPN to get your free $200 in free bets instantly. For a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. Joining me today on the pod is my brother Tyson. What's going on today, kiddo?
Not too much. Happy to be back. It's dog days of summers, so we're going to have to dig deep in the barrel for this episode, I guess.
Well, you're not bottom of the barrel, Tice. Don't sell yourself too short there. No, you actually came up with today's episode, so I really appreciate that. You also mentioned to me a food incident that took place tonight that we absolutely have to get into. I mean, this is unbelievable. It's honestly one of the funniest food things I've ever heard. Something you ate. I mean, we got to get into this. It's, an abomination of nature what took place. But we'll save that for a little later on in the episode because we don't want to scare anybody away. But make sure you tune into that one a bit later on. In the meantime, Tyson, you did mention to me that, you know, with the Summer Olympics now in the rear view, the Winter Olympics are just around the corner here. And since it's kind of a slow time in the hockey offseason, the middle of August, you know, NHL players are set, it seems, we assume and expect, to return to the Olympics. And we'll see Team Canada officially defend their crown as Olympic champions with NHL players in the mix. And so, with that in mind, I thought today we could make our picks for Team Canada's men's Olympic hockey roster. Most importantly for Winnipeggers, too, whether or not Mark Scheifele or Josh Morrissey crack the list. So Tyson, we'll let you go first, age before beauty, and we'll start with the forward group. Before we get into your picks, though, just first right off the bat, do you have Mark Scheifele on Canada's Olympic roster?
Yes, he is. In the lineup, too, not just an extra. Top line, I got Huberto, McDavid, McKinnon. Can't go wrong with that line. That's just a stacked, absolutely stacked line all across. I think that line's just going to dominate whoever they play. Second line, I go with Marchand, Crosby, and Bergeron, obviously because of the World Cup. They played so insane together.
The OGs,
they obviously
right?
have that. Yeah, exactly. They clearly have that chemistry. As a second line, I don't think it gets much better. I don't see what other countries' top lines even competing with that. Third line, my third and fourth line, I don't know if you can call them third or fourth lines. I think a lot of these lines, they're all going to play pretty similar minutes. But I put Scheifele on the left wing with Braden Point and Mitch Marner. I figure that line's going to get a lot. That's probably going to be the line that gets the easiest matchups whenever Canada's got last change. And with my fourth line, I went complete shutdown and went with Ryan O'Reilly, Sean Couturier, and Mark Stone. Good luck scoring against that line. For my extra, I actually put Matt Barzal, and I think he could be an X factor for Canada, especially with the Olympic size rink. You know, he's never played. We've never seen him play on an Olympic size rink since he might have played at the Ivan Hlinka, I think, in Switzerland. We haven't seen him like now with that speed to see what he does in the NHL. I think it could be a major X factor. I think he could turn a lot of heads, and I think it could be trouble for the Islanders in negotiations next summer.
I'm just impressed, Tyson. You did the research to find out that Matt Barzal played at the Ivan Hlinka in Switzerland a few years ago. I'm not even going to check that on you. I mean, I'll just go with it. I'm actually going to, you know, maybe moving forward, I'm going to use that to sound like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to prospects. Yeah, that guy looked great at the Ivan Hlinka back in Germany a couple of years ago. Now, we have pretty similar teams here, actually, so it's a little unfortunate that there won't be a ton of disagreement, but there is a big one between our two lists here, and I think a lot of people in this city might have a bit of a problem with what I have going on up front for Team Canada, but I don't have Mark Scheifele among the starting 12 forwards for Team Canada here, and the reason for that is pretty simple. And anybody that's watched Mark Scheifele here in Winnipeg the past few years would have to admit to this, and that's that he is not good defensively. And especially compared with some of the higher-end offensive options across the NHL, he just hasn't been good enough inside his own end, and I think that's going to hold him back from grabbing a spot amongst the starting 12 forwards for Team Canada come Olympic time. And it's crazy to say that because he's, I think, 5th or 6th among Canadian forwards, not just centers, but any forward. He's 5th or 6th in points per game these past couple of seasons. Like, the offensive production is obviously there. He's one of the elite on the planet, let alone here in Canada. But it's just hard to ignore what's gone on in his end of the ice these past few seasons. And when you're talking about some of the players that he's battling for spots for, they have the offensive game. And while they may not be defensive, you know, silky finalists, they're pretty darn good inside their own end as well. And I think Mark Scheifele is going to have to show the Canadian coaching staff that he's able to earn their trust when it comes to playing in the starting lineup for game one. That's why, as of right now, I have Mark Scheifele watching that opening game in the Olympic tournament from the press box and not taking part in the tournament. Now, as for who gets in over Mark Scheifele, well, Tyson, you're shaking your head. What are you shaking your head at about my Scheifele call?
I think putting him on a line with Point gives you that, you know, you got that responsible guy to put him with. And you can say what you want about Mitch Marner this last playoffs. I mean, everyone saw it, but, you know, he's not that bad. It's not as bad as he showed, even at his own end. So I think putting him with those two guys, you give him a bit of some cushion. And like I said, I think that would be the line that goes up against the other team's worst line.
Yeah, that's a fair point, Tyson. And now that you say it out loud, it kind of makes me question my pick a little bit. It's completely fair. And, you know, it's ultimately what's going to happen if Mark Scheifele gets into the starting lineup, right? I don't think at this point he's going to be one of their four centers. I mean, you have McDavid, Crosby, and we'll get to our checking line in just a second, but we'll just say the checking line and then Braden Point. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon is already moving out to the wing. There's just no room for the guys that are ahead of Mark Scheifele. He's just not going to be down the middle. So that is going to mitigate his, you know, defensive weaknesses a fair amount, right? He'll be able to be sheltered out there on the wing. That's the old saying in hockey, you know, turn your brain off once you head out to the wall. So, you know, maybe that is enough to put Mark Scheifele into a spot in the starting lineup. And I'll tell you what, too, there's a pretty cushy spot or two open on the depth chart for Mark Scheifele to find a way into. I mean, we'll get into what I have lined up for Team Canada here, but there's a spot for him to play beside potentially McDavid and MacKinnon, or even Braden Point, right? It's just that there's a lot of talent battling for, I think, one or two spots on this roster. Now, who I have for my Team Canada forwards? You mentioned Matt Barzal there, Tyson, as your X factor potentially for Canada. And I would agree with that, because I actually have him on my top line. It's my dream offensive trio. But my top line for Team Canada sees Connor McDavid centering Nathan MacKinnon and Matt Barzal. Good Lord, can you imagine trying to go up against those three forwards if you're a blue liner on any other country? It might be the fastest, most electric dangerous offensive trio we've ever seen in hockey.
Like, I can't even imagine being a defenseman and that being your assignment. Like, holy shit. I'm going to have a couple dashes on the night. I don't think I'm ever getting a contract in the NHL after this game.
It's going to be like that scene in Saving Private Ryan when Tom Hanks' character is, like, shell-shocked in that final battle. And he's just kind of looking around and in a big daze and everything like that. I just don't know how you defend them, honestly. And I would love to see Matt Barzal kind of unlocked beside the two biggest offensive weapons in hockey. I mean, look what he's done out there with the Islanders, with the style that they play. And while playing with good players, just nobody near the offensive level of those two. I think Matt Barzal could be able to reach another level beside McDavid and MacKinnon. And I think as far as just an aesthetic point of view, that would be super, super fun to see. My second line, and I think everyone's going to agree, you know, when we build Team Canada here, that this line has to open the tournament together. That's Sidney Crosby centering Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand. Like you mentioned there, at the World Cup, beyond dominant. And really, might be, I mean, this team's top line when you look at it, and I just don't know if there's another line in the entire tournament that would be able to slow down Crosby, Bergeron, and Marchand, despite each of them in their mid-30s at this point. I mean, as a second line, it's ridiculous. But I just wonder how many top lines would be able to match those three and what they're able to put out there together. We get to the bottom six, and this is where a bit of the intrigue lies for me. Now, I mentioned again, I don't have Mark Scheifele in my top 12. The reason for that is, I'm with you, Tyson. I'm going pure shutdown, Paul Maurice style, top six, bottom six, but I'm going with a pure shutdown line. And Sean Couturier with Ryan O'Reilly and Mark Stone. Any lead is going to be safe. Plus, you need some guys on the team at some point to kill penalties, to take defensive faceoffs, things like that. Those three are going to be able to do that for you, obviously, at an elite rate. And you could save some of the old guys, some of those minutes. It's just a win-win for me, and you know, when I'm building this team, I want to make sure that I have that defensive conscience somewhere. And those three obviously bring that in spades. Two Selke winners. One should be Selke winner in Mark Stone. And they're all point of game guys at some point in their NHL career as well. So they can still put the puck in the net. And then my fourth line. I think Braden Point is a lock to make Team Canada at this point. I'm going with his wingers as Jonathan Huberdeau and Mitch Marner. A couple of natural wingers at that too. I just don't know at this point if Scheifele, I mean, offensively, they're all pretty similar. Mitch Marner slightly outproduced Scheifele this past season. Huberto outproduced Scheifele the year before that. But Mitch Marner kills penalties. Like, Mitch Marner is a decent defensive forward. And I think Jonathan Huberto is probably, you could say, the same as that. So I just think right now, Mark Scheifele is a little bit back of those two, but that could change by the time this season starts to get underway. I would say for sure, though, that Mark Scheifele is obviously going to make Team Canada. You know, at worst, it's going to be as the 13th forward. He's also ahead of guys like Stamkos and Tavares, who I have just outside that. But it's just going to be about whether or not Mark Scheifele can ultimately crack the top 12 and get some decent minutes, because there is some prime opportunity available for him. We'll see if Mark Scheifele takes his game to another level once the season gets underway and with Team Canada in mind. Now let's go to the blue line here, Tice. It's an interesting group of players. It's not as good as Team Canada's group back in 2010 when you had Hall of Famers all over the place, but there's still a ton of talent here. Let's start off with, again, before you get to your sixth defenseman, is Josh Morrissey on your Team Canada roster?
He is not.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I don't think we have to dive into this all that much here. I mean, when I look at the group of left-handed defensemen for Team Canada that is available, he's probably 8th, 9th on the list. Like, he's way, way down there. And that's just the lefties, never mind the right-handed defensemen that might make the team. I mean, we all know the step back that Josh Morrissey has taken these past 2 years. I actually think he's going to have a really good bounce-back season this upcoming campaign. I just don't think it's going to be enough to vault him back ahead of a number of candidates that have surpassed him. A lot of these young guys, these young Canadians on the left side, have taken some steps these past 2 years, and they've, you know, kind of created a pretty big gap between themselves and Josh Morrissey here. But let's hear the rest of your top six, Tyson.
I think there might be a little bit of a – it might be kind of a wild card decor, but I really like the looks of it. In my top pair, I have Shea Theodore and Petrangelo. They got the chemistry in Vegas, you know, both good solid 2A guys. I think that's just a solid pairing. Then this is where I kind of go off the beaten trail. I went with Adam Pellick and Cale Makar as my second pair. And I in my opinion, that's like the perfect D pair. I think that's their styles just mesh perfectly. And then for my third pair, I go with Darnell Nurse and Dougie Hamilton with Thomas Chabot as my seventh D man.
Okay, interesting. Well, we actually have a decent amount of differences here. So it's going to be a little more exciting than what we have up front between our two teams. I mean, we have some of the same guys. I mean, my top pair, I didn't have to think about this too much at all. Let's put the best lefty, let's put the best righty together. Shea Theodore has proven that. And Cale Makar is my choice to play beside Shea Theodore. I just think Cale Makar is a no doubt about a top five guy in the NHL right now. I could probably put him in my top three pretty easily. I think this is an absolutely generational player. I think, you know, as good as Connor McDavid is up front, I think Cale Makar is going to be like that, and he might be there right now. I'm just going out of my way to make sure he's getting 25 minutes a night, and hey, if he didn't miss 10 games this past season, whatever it was, he's probably walking away with a Norris Trophy as good as Adam Fox was this past year. So that's my top pairing. Number two, I agree, Alex Petrangelo was a lock to make this team. Probably going to wear the A on the back end as well. His partner, though, I'm actually going to go with Morgan Riley. I'm going to go Morgan Riley and Alex Petrangelo as my second pair. I also think Team Canada is going to pick Morgan Riley. But the Riley spot and the partnership beside Petrangelo, that's going to be an interesting one to monitor for me because there's a number of players, I think, that are going to be in the mix for that one. And then I might be going just way off the wall here with my third pairing. But I loved your Adam Pellick pick. I got to say that. But with Barry Trotz on the coaching staff, I got to find a way to make Pellick and Pulock a pairing for Team Canada. That's right. I got the New York Islanders top pairing. Let's just put them both out there together. And that's going to be my third pair. And you know, it's kind of similar to the Couturier-O'Reilly-Stone line up front where you have, you know, a no doubt about it shutdown duo on your back end. But let's face it, they've been, you know, to a certain extent, quietly, in my opinion, one of, if not the best defensive pairing in the NHL these past few years. I mean, they've been outstanding. They're a huge reason, maybe outside of Barry Trotz, the reason why the Islanders are as good as they are. And I have no problem in a short tournament where chemistry can sometimes be the biggest issue and putting out a pairing that knows each other as well as those two do. So, I mean, some people might be surprised by that. But I feel pretty comfortable having Pellick and Pulock as Team Canada's third defensive pairing. Now, there's some names that could even throw that into the wrench a little bit. I mean, Aaron Ekblad, with how well he played this past season, deserves a spot on Team Canada. I just don't know how healthy he is and what he's going to look like when he hopefully comes back for Game 1 this upcoming season. But he's got to be in the mix. Jacob Chychrun as well is going to be in the mix. I think he had 24 goals this past year. So, I mean, if he takes another leap, you might have to find... I mean, it might end up being Jacob Chychrun and Aaron Ekblad as this team's third pairing. So, a lot of balls are still up in the air there. But, you know, I think we've got kind of a general consensus of who's going to be on the blue line for Team Canada this upcoming Olympics. Now, let's go into net here. And I think this is a pretty easy discussion. But let's hear what your starting goalies... what your goalies are for Team Canada.
Yeah, I figured it was pretty easy. I just went... Carey Price, Marc-Andre Fleury, and Darcy Kemper right now. Fleury and Price are just two guys that are just, when you think of Canada, you think of those two. So I don't see anyone bumping those two out of it. I could see if Kemper struggles, I could see them maybe leading to a younger goalie as the third goalie, maybe Mackenzie Blackwood or Carter Hart, depending how Carter Hart bounces back or Mackenzie Blackwood bounces back too. You know, those two could easily be the third goalie, but I think it's kind of a wait-and-see approach for that third goalie spot for Canada.
Yeah, I always like when Canada puts a young guy in that third spot there, just knowing that, you know, eventually they're probably going to take over the mantle when it comes to goaltending. So I put in as my third goalie either Hart, Blackwood, or Darcy Kemper. And I'd be cool with either one of those, assuming, you know, whoever's playing the best out of those three. But there's no doubt that Carey Price is your starting goalie, and then Marc-Andre Fleury is the backup. I mean, Fleury's the reigning Vezina winner, and Carey Price dragged the Montreal Canadiens to the Stanley Cup final. And on top of that, Carey Price might be the best international goalie in hockey history. So there isn't too much debate to be had there. I do wonder, though, that if Darcy Kuemper is not ultimately going to be the choice as the third guy, just because he's going to be on the Avs now, he's probably going to light it up. A ton of wins, great numbers, playing in front of one of the best teams in hockey. And if that makes it an easy decision for Team Canada. But we'll see. Won't be shocked either if Hart, Blackwood, maybe even Binnington grabs that third goalie spot there. All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for our Team Canada portion of this. So, I mean, pretty good rosters, Tice. We're pretty much in agreement here. I mean, the main difference, oddly enough, is that you have Scheifele in. I have Scheifele out of the starting 12. We both have Josh Morrissey off of Team Canada. But let me know on Twitter at @Brandon_Rewicki or @SkatesBladesPod. Do you agree with our picks? Which team do you like better? And would you or would you not have Mark Scheifele as one of the 12 starting forwards for Team Canada? Would love to get your thoughts. Would love to know what Winnipeg Jets fans think about that. Now, we have to get to this before we close. And I teased it a little bit earlier. But Tyson, you went on a bit of a food odyssey this evening. And it's something that I didn't know existed. I don't even know what to call this, really. I mean, is it a horror movie? Is it a psychedelic flick? I mean, just, I guess, explain to everybody what you found and what your dinner was like this past night.
Well, so I was just in the grocery store, just taking a peek down the pasta aisle, and I see this black box with flames all over it. It caught my attention right away, so I looked at it, and it's a Frito-Lay's product, and it's a Cheeto mac and cheese Flaming Hot version. And I love, like, the normal crunchy Flaming Hot Cheetos. Like, they're one of my favorite snacks. So I was like, oh, why not? We'll give it a try.
Yeah, so for those that don't know, it's like Kraft Dinner, like KD. It's like that, but it's Flaming Hot Cheetos version.
Right, and it's red. Like, it's like the dust is red. Like, there's no other way to say it's really red. Like, it's food colored red.
Tyson, it is like neon red. Like, redder than a fire truck. Like, it is so disgusting. I couldn't believe when you took the picture that you actually ate it.
Yeah, so I make it, and I'm just looking at it, you're like, okay, well, we're getting ourselves into some deep waters right now. And it had a weird smell too, a little bit of a funky smell. And I take the first bite, and immediately the first thing in my head, I wasn't like, I gotta spit this out. It was just, this should not be in my body. There's nothing that's in this. We can read some of the ingredients too if you want. I don't know if I want to, but desodium phosphate, that's a good thing, right? Gar gum. That doesn't sound good. What's a gar gum? Xanthan gum. I think that's too many gums in my mac and cheese for my liking, though. And yeah, like, I'm just thinking about, like, I think that if you cooked that and you went back in time and you gave it to someone that was just like in the mid 1700s and you gave them that, I think they're dead within 2 days. I don't think the human body is meant. I think we eat too much, or at least I eat too much processed stuff now that my body's at least, it's hurting a bit. But like, you drink a couple glasses of Pepto and then you're on your way.
Okay, so we've established that Flaming Hot Cheeto mac and cheese is a war crime of some sort. But what did it taste like? Like, you didn't say what it tasted like. Is it bland or is it too spicy? Like, what was the deal? What did it taste like?
Not food. Like, it's hard to explain, but like, you could kind of make out what everything's supposed to be, but you know that's not what it is. Like, I can tell they're trying to put cheese in it and they're trying to like put pasta and like make it, like, at least make it edible, but you just know that this is not a real cheese. I don't even know if the pasta is real. I don't know what that's made out of. I got like halfway through it after the first bite when I said I didn't know what I was putting in my body, and I still kept eating it. I still have a couple of bites, but just halfway through I'm like, I can't do this. Like, this is not going to end well. It's just, my body was instantly rejecting the taste, and I dump it out, and it's just like sticky. It looks like vet. Like, it looks like in Spider-Man 3, you know, like when they ring the bell and Venom's like freaking out and just shooting out everywhere. That's what the mac and cheese looks like when you're dumping it out. It looks like an alien trying to hold on to your insides.
You know what the sickest part about all this is? You're description of what that Flamin' Hot Cheeto mac and cheese is and how it just shouldn't be consumed by humans. Like, you getting into that now makes me want to buy it even more. Like, I have to try it now for myself to see if what you said is true. Like, that's the worst part about all this, is I'm going to the store tomorrow and I'm going to give this a go. Now, before we wrap up here, would you try it again? And what's your rating? Like, out of 10, what would you give it?
I don't know if I could try it again, but 4 out of 10.
I'll never eat it again, and it shouldn't be consumed by anyone, and I only had a quarter of the bowl, but 4 out of 10. Would recommend. Well, I don't envy you for the next 24 hours, Tyson, but hey, maybe sometime next week we could make this a thing. Like, we, like Tyson's Taste segments, where we just give you the most disgusting or like the most outlandish food items and we just get you to try them, like eat them live on the podcast.
Actually, I did see that Kraft, like that actual Kraft dinner. They've been making these new like Kraft dinner flavorings that you put in. And I saw that there's a jalapeno one that doesn't sound bad. Like a buffalo chicken one, that doesn't sound too bad either. And then you got a nice pink bubble gum.
Why do companies do that? I hate when companies do that.
That's got to be so bad for you. That's got to be awful for you.
I just hate when food companies make stuff like notoriously outlandish just because they know what's going to get them clicks and things like that. So it just, stuff like that really bothers me. Having said that, we are going to get you to taste test pink bubblegum Kraft dinner mac and cheese next time on the podcast. But I do want to end this on a high note, you know, after the debacle that was this past 5 or so minutes. But Burger Week is coming up here. Super, super excited. One of the best times all year in the city. And it's actually 2 weeks this year, which is just utter insanity. But I thought before we close, ending on a high note, in honor of upcoming Burger Week, Tyson, do you have a burger that maybe stands out above the rest over these past few years here during Burger Week that is just seared into your memory?
Yeah, the one burger that I always remember, I think it was 3 years ago, and it was Q Grill. I think it was called the Mount Fuji Burger, and I don't remember everything that was on it, but I remember, I think it was the best burger I've ever eaten. I actually couldn't believe it. I think I got it 3 times in that week. I'm speechless now thinking about it.
I could not agree more, Tyson. The Mount Fuji Burger is without a doubt, and there's been some beauties here in the city, and there's going to be more to come this upcoming Burger Week, but I can honestly say that the Mount Fuji burger from Q Grill is the best burger I've ever had in my life. I can smell it, and I can like envision what it looks like in front of me right now. I just sound like the fattest person ever. But like, I know there was pork belly, there was this great slaw that just cut through all the richness and the fattiness. I mean, the burger was just outstanding, and then Q sauces are always out of control, but this one just took the cake. Without a doubt, the best burger. We're going to try to make sure to get Calvin Truong, one of the owners and the chef from the Q franchise, on coming up soon before Burger Week gets underway. But the Mount Fuji one, you know, pardon the pun, but that one is the peak, the pinnacle when it comes to Burger Week for me. We'll see what Q Grill has in store again this year. Q Bistro this past year had the gravity-defying, floating, cheesy ramen noodle burger. So they've got their work cut out for them.
I always love the King and Valentine ones, too. They always do a great job with theirs. There's so many restaurants in Winnipeg that do such a great job with all their burgers. There's so many creative places. Like, you even look at some of the other places where they do Burger Week, and I think Winnipeg's is one of the most creative, most innovative.
Yeah, and probably the tastiest, too. I mean, I've looked at Toronto's before. And you can suck at Toronto, but Winnipeg's got the better burgers. There's no doubt about that. So I can't wait for Burger Week 2021. Super jacked. And like I said, make sure you tune in every Friday moving forward. We'll try to get some of the restaurants that are taking part to maybe give us a sneak peek at the burgers they have on tap. And what goes into, you know, getting ready for Burger Week, because they're making hundreds every single day. So we'll try to get them on before things get a little too crazy once September rolls around. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Tyson, thank you so much for joining me today. Thank you for your Team Canada list. And looking forward to next week's return for you when we can find out what bubblegum Kraft dinner tastes like.
Can't wait.
Beauty. All right. Well, like I said, that's it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rowicki. Like I mentioned, we're back on Friday. More Jets talk, a food interview coming your way as well. Can't wait to get into all that with you guys again. Peace.